Blog Talk Radio.
God damn you, Blog Talk Radio. You could kiss my black ass. Get your crap together for once. Oh, we're live on the air? Oops, sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Finally, after 2 weeks, welcome back to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you missed me so much for the last 2 weeks. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have Sean Black.
Yeah, right. Anyway, yes, for episode 192, back in the building once again.
Sorry, I'm just texting my producer right now. Okay, I'd like to apologize. We did not do the show last week because, as always, Sean Black had other things to take care of. So if I do the show without Sean Black, he will be crying like a little girl that he is. So we'll be back on a Monday night in November. So let's get this thing started. Well, You know the number to call to be pissed off or comments or any questions is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, for the next 40 minutes, are you ready to piss people off before the holidays?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. First, before we get started, Monica Lewinsky, do you remember that lady? Do you remember that name, Sean Black?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's the lady that took care of Bill Clinton in the White House many, many years ago. And lately, she's coming out with a documentary on the A&E Network, I believe, about the Clinton affairs and all that other stuff. Man, my question to you, we all know what happened, you and I, and a million people around the world. If all that stuff that happened back in 1995 or something like that happened today, this the way it acted out, what do you think the world will be reacting today if we all find out about the Clinton affairs compared to 20-something years ago?
Well, you know what? Based on the fact of all the things that we know now, as we definitely know she'd be treated completely different. I think that when you look at what's been going on...
Different in what way?
Different in the fact that there would be a lot more sympathy towards Monica Lewinsky from this sense. We know that a lot of people get in situations where they are with someone professional. Something happens. We'll see what happens. But hold on. I'm going to have to pause this for a quick second, just for a moment, because I just got just want to check one thing. So give me a second. Hold on for 1 second, okay?
Okay, this is going to put me on hold. We have now come back in 2 weeks, and the man has the nerve to put me on hold. How rude. No way I do that.
Well, that's
I have K-Dog on, right? K-Dog, welcome. You heard the question. Like I said, is this thing... The Clinton affair that happened today, with all the women movement, all the sexual harassment charges, with everything that's happening right now, how do you think? What do you think the reaction will be right now?
Well, Monica Lewinsky would definitely receive a lot of sympathy from a lot of women. They would have been like, "Oh, he was a dog. He was wrong." And at the same time, as much as she would receive sympathy, but she would receive a lot of shaming. And remember, now these days with social media, it would be out there. It would be all over Instagram, all over Facebook, all over Twitter. She would have received, like I said, half sympathy and half shaming.
Well, I do agree there would be a lot of shaming. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, no,
there would be a lot of shaming. I agree there would be a lot of shaming with the internet love to be going crazy and talk a lot of nonsense.
They would.
But like I told people, I think the reaction would be, of course, like, oh, you know, she was wrong. They would attack Bill Clinton. Compared to back then, they attacked Bill Clinton instead of Monica Lewinsky. And that's the crazy part about it because, you know, even though everyone knew that Bill Clinton was a dog, he's a president, a man in power, it's like they will deny that, you know, he did something like this. Compared to now, they will jump the gun without any evidence, without any storyline. They will defend Monica Lewinsky. And I think that's the crazy part.
That's what I
about 20 years ago to today.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that it's actually been that long.
Yeah, it's been that long. And you know what it is? It's like when, like, people are asking, like, why is she talking? Why is she going now? Is it a desperate need of money or something? I mean, really, that's what people are asking. And I'm just repeating what people say.
I think that's the wrong idea.
Marco. Go ahead, Sean.
I think if we're going to look at it the way we look at it from the prism we saw it back then,
right.
Everybody looked at Monica Lewinsky like she was a pariah. Oh, I can't believe it. She did what she did with the president. We can't believe what she did back then. And in those days, the position that Monica Lewinsky was in, she would be called slut, tramp, whore,
of
the most derogatory things possible. Today, the same type of behavior, although it is not looked at in a positive light, now that we know more about the person, we would want to delve more into why it happened and how it happened, as opposed to just automatically saying, oh, she slept with a married president. She's nothing more than a tramp. Big difference in the mindset and the thought process.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the difference is.
Well, I will be devil's advocate here for a second and think about the scenario 20 years ago of Monica Lewinsky. And to a certain degree, I defend of what she did. Right, you know what, to each his own, don't get me wrong. But think about this opportunity. You are an intern, you're a young kid, you know, trying to make it out there. And you have the leader of the free world in your hands. Don't you know that she lived a lot of people's dreams? How many people told you back in high school, college, that they wish they had Bill Clinton? Well, he was one sexy president, or, you know, something weird like that.
But you know what it is?
Yeah, go ahead,
Kato. Hot Rod, I'm sorry for interrupting, but it's always been that way with men of power. You know, some men of power. Like, okay, especially with Bill Clinton. At the time when this affair happened, you know, a lot of people were asking questions when Linda Tripp put the tape out there about the phone call, that infamous phone call that she shared with her. And Bill Clinton, you know, did what a lot of men do when you're caught in that aspect of cheating. When you're caught there and you're like, it wasn't me, that was the whole thing. And you know, with that coming out, especially now these days, like I said before, with social media, it would be a whole different, you understand what I'm saying? It would be a whole different, as the reception that would come out of there would be totally different from the way it was 20 years ago.
And the crazy thing about it is that when we take a look at what happened, I remember Hillary Clinton basically trashed, at the time, Monica Lewinsky herself.
Yes, she did.
Being the fact that she was the wife that was scorned.
Yes.
And people looked at it like, a lot of people in those days would understand why she had the reaction she did based on that.
She blamed the woman. Like a lot of people say like this, When a guy is caught messing around, yes, they'll blame the women. But now these days, roles have changed. Notice the guy will get blamed. They'll look at him and be like, you dirty.
But my question is, in times like that, who do you blame? The cheater or the person who's having an affair with overall? You know, that's
you
a
gotta blame
party. You blame both parties.
The cheater would get the cheater would definitely get blamed for this one. Now these days, especially with a lot of the movement that's going on now, the cheater, he's the one to blame for.
I just find it weird that how, you know, like 20-something years ago, you know, this story is still hot. And, of course, if this happened today, President Clinton will be impeached already by now, K-Dog?
Well, he would be brought up for impeachment, especially with the who's ever in charge of Congress. You got to remember, when the Republicans take over at the time, Republicans were in control of Congress and the House. So, of course, there was impeachment because of the fact that he lied about the whole thing. But now it would definitely be an impeachment. Of course, they will call for impeachment. It will be a fight all over again.
Sean Black.
Go ahead, Sean.
I think if you're going to look at the way everything is going right now, that probably would have been the case, as K-Dog just stated. Usually, or especially at around midterm time, when they usually look at the control of Congress and the House, usually the incumbent president loses control if they go in at the same time with, if it's a Democratic president and a Democratic House, it usually flips during their term and it's usually not that well received. So they were going to use that same ideology to try and say, well, we're going to go through the House Ethics Committee and we're going to try to get him impeached. And they actually did do the impeachment proceedings. And remember, Kenneth Starr spent all that money impeaching, going through the impeachment process. But if you're going to look at what the thought process of what the women being judged in this situation would have been back then compared to what we're looking at now, it would be a completely different mindset, because there's more understanding in the thought process from both the woman scorned and the woman involved. We're not saying that it's condoned, but I think we're looking at it from a different prism now, and I think a lot of people can look at different angles to find out what's going on.
Okay, and talk about women. I'd like to bring up this next topic about women, so let's talk about women today. Okay, before I talk about it, I'm not attacking no females in this situation. And I know controversy, the K-Dog and I discussed this on Butterbee's show, the menu last night on Sunday nights right here on Blog Talk Radio at 8:30. How controversy and negativity make money. But this, on the cover of GQ magazine, made for men, really. And normally at the end of the year, they have the Men of the Year. And I know one of them is Michael B. Jordan, which is a close friend of mine. Congratulations to him. But, of course, they want to add a twist to it and be a little bit of controversy. As Serena Williams, the great tennis player, scratch off Met and put out Woman of the Year. Of course, not a lot of people are happy with this, like myself and other people, of having Serena Williams on the cover of a Men magazine quoting Woman of the Year. Now, Sean Black, the sensitive person that you are, of course you're not surprised by the controversy today. And I know you're not bothered by this too much, but do you think it was like stepping out of the line, or do you think it was a little bit more deeper to this, or just another overreaction?
I don't think it was an overreaction in the sense that, oh, this is blasphemy, this shouldn't have been done. I think I see what they were trying to accomplish. The problem is that I think that the actual cover was kind of tone deaf in the ideal of this way. If you're going to look at what GQ magazine actually is, it's a men's magazine, and men are going to be the primary buyers of it. It's usually style, male celebrities, clothing lines, etc. Now, the negativity behind that, and not only did they put Serena on the cover and put Woman of the Year on the cover, they put woman in quotations. So that is the part that made it seem much more negative in the mind of all of those negative connotations of she's such a great athlete. She's such a great female athlete, but in general, she's such a great athlete that she's doing what a lot of men either can't do or aren't able to do, that she's able to just dominate her sport the way she's been dominating her sport.
Right.
But to put the connotation of men, or put Woman of the Year on the cover of a men's magazine, you can either look at it and say she's so dominant, males can look up to her on the cover of their magazine, Or somebody can take it as a negative and say that they're trying to call her male because of how dominant she is in a women's sport. And I think that's where the negativity is. If any other male athlete did what they did in their own sport and was put on the cover of a women's magazine, I don't know if there would be a bigger uproar or not. That would be in interpretation.
Well, I do agree. There have been times when Serena Williams has been referred as a man because she's been so dominant in sports. And I'm not upset with Serena Williams posing for the cover. You do what you want to do. This is your life. But before I go to Kato, I just want to add on one thing I was a little bit tone deaf or upset about this thing. Like, this is a men magazine. This is Men of the Year. If they want to make a special edition of Women of the Year, be my guest. But like you said, Sean, it's tone deaf. So you're going to get controversy and positivity at the same time. But, like, if you take, like I told Mike from California, him and I was going back and forth on this today. If you take Sean Black and put him on the cover of Women Health and call him the man of the year or the healthiest man of the year, a lot of females would be upset by that. Am I right or wrong? Why are you putting a man on the cover calling him healthiest man of the year if it's a woman magazine? If it's a woman magazine, should just stick to woman topics, woman whatever, same thing as men. So with the world that's going on today, you know, are we like cross-gender everything? I relate this to the Boy Scouts, allowing girls to come in now. That's the way I see this. We have the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, but now the Boy Scouts are allowing girls to come in. Why? If we have a Girl Scout already, if they decide to do a co-ed, and call it co-ed, you know, boys and Girl Scouts, go be my guest. But to have, to name it Boy Scouts, but still have girls in it, I'm not buying that all the way. I see something wrong with that. Or that is me thinking old school, quote unquote. Okay, dog?
With that being said, the reason why the uproar, and like Sean said before, you know, look at the way that it was written. Like, okay, you put man of the year, but yet you erase men. Why not just say woman of the year? You don't have to put the... Oh, you have to put, like, men is scratched out. Put women, woman of the year. That's all there is, because that's where the controversy lies. Like, what is going on here? That's what a lot of people are seeing.
Yeah,
like,
the connotation involved in what they did is they put woman in quotations.
Exactly.
And then they made it as if she's not a female. The
right.
connotation, the interpretation would be, because we've heard this stuff from described about Serena Williams for years, because of the musculature, because of the fact that she is
a full-figured female,
very, very muscular, very toned, very fit, that, well, she must be a male. She's got male qualities, et cetera, et cetera. She probably heard that throughout a good chunk of her career.
Yeah, but
right. But what I say is this, is that just put Woman of the Year. There was no need for, you know, to scratch out. Just leave it as Woman of the Year. That's all you have to do.
Well, how about this? Why not just put, this is what I would say, one of two things. You could either just say Serena Williams, Athlete of the Year, or just put Serena Williams on the cover and just put question mark of the year.
Right.
And then let it be up for interpretation of the reader.
Why put on question mark?
Because it would be one. The reason why I say that is that the whole premise of the art of the cover was to be provocative. The fact that she's even on the cover is enough to stoke provocative ideas about, oh, Serena Williams is on the cover of a male magazine. Well, what are they trying to say? You just put a question mark, and then you say, and then at the bottom it's a question mark of the year, and then you put, you fill in the blank. Athlete, woman, mother.
Transgender of the year. Transgender of the year. Who knows?
Whatever
will come out.
Whatever the reader interprets, they could have put that there. But I think the idea is, one, we're talking about the cover.
Yeah.
Two, we're talking about Serena Williams. And three, it's going to generate enough money for it to sell because of what the cover represents. And now we're talking about, well, what do they mean? What is it? I can see what they were trying to go for, but maybe it wasn't executed the right way.
Right.
And they're
going
to need somebody to elocute what they want to have stated from that cover without it going the wrong way and somebody thinking it's something completely what it is.
Because that's where the Sean, that's where the controversy started. I mean, people were looking at the cover like, what is that supposed to mean? How are you going to put scratch out men and in quotation women? People were like shaking their heads like, what is that? When all they had to do was just put woman of the year.
Well,
that's my opinion.
Talk about controversy. Well, Macy's had put up an ad related to, since we talk about pictures and images and everything, Macy's mm-hmm. had put out a family picture of four families, a collage, and each picture is a picture of their families. But the first picture is an all-white family, mother and father, three kids, and their dogs. No problem.
Right.
The second picture on the right is two male guys, gay, with two kids. The gay couple is black and white. Okay. The third picture is a mother and three kids. But in the last fourth picture, once again, is a white couple, two kids, and a dog. Now, once again, just like the Serena Williams picture, Sean Black. When you saw this picture, when I sent this to you yesterday, what were your first reaction, and were you surprised by this at all?
I wasn't surprised because more and more we're seeing advertising that is being more and more inclusive and is trying to break the social, quote-unquote, social norms that we're expecting. You remember we talked about this like about 2 years ago where there was a Cheerios ad where they had an interracial family in it. And it was, I believe, a black mother and a white father.
A white mother and a black father. I remember.
Yeah, and they had a mixed racial child. And it was a funny commercial. You know, the kid was eating the Cheerios, et cetera. She had curly hair. She had freckles, et cetera, et cetera. That was cool. But there was a whole lot of controversy in the fact that everybody was complaining about what kind of – they're trying to force their liberalism on us, and why would you put that in a commercial? And I was like, this represents what the heck is going on in society now. This represents what the country's going through. So to look at that ad that you sent from the Macy's ad, and then you try and look at some of the other advertising that we're starting to see over the last few years, it's just a reflection of what society is today, and that's what's supposed to happen because now you just can't say, well, you know, this gay couple that has two kids, they're not being represented at all. How fair is that? Or this single parent, they're not represented at all, and they work just as hard as the married couple who has the dog and the three children and the white picket fence. So you have to be inclusive and make sure that that is brought in and not make anybody that's in between feel bad. It doesn't make any sense. You can make money off of any of those families and represent everybody.
True, but, you know, people will be saying, like, for example, I'm not attacking the gay community. Let's get that clear. Because it seems like every time we say something about this, we're attacking the community. No, so you have the black guy, black kid, white kid. I don't know how that worked out, but hey, to each his own. But, oh, see, it's always showing that the gay couple always, you know, have to be black and white. They force that upon us. Or there's always a black single mother that's always out there. What do you think about that? And
that's
the problem.
What I
want. Like,
that's what I'm looking at.
But that's the problem.
Because you know what? They always they're going to show a black single mother, like, where's the black father? You know, that's the image that they always have of, oh, like, the black woman is seen like a baby mama instead of being a wife. That's the kind
like,
of disrespect that they live. Right.
And that's and kind of, K-Dog is that, but we've seen this all the time. So I'm saying,
well, yes,
what do you mean, Sean, but what happened, I guarantee you it was a single white mother with three kids. No one would not say anything about it or would not even cross your mind.
And you want to know why? Because they would assume that in that picture that that woman is married. That is the mindset in society. Even if there is no wedding ring or whatever the case, they would look at the picture and just assume, just because, like you said, a white mother with maybe two kids, and she's smiling, and it's Christmas time, et cetera. They would just assume in the picture, well, dad is working, you know, dad is at home, et cetera.
But
they wouldn't get the connotation behind it.
But when it comes to the black woman, it's like she's single, that she's a single mother. Like, she ain't got no,
the father's in jail.
Yeah, the father's in jail, or the father's not in the picture. And that's the sad part about it. You know? That's what's going on now.
I'm sorry, once again, to the gay couple, why have to be a white kid and a black kid? Why can't it just be two kids in general? You know? Just to color tone?
But like I said,
fathers?
I think in the picture they also want to establish that in each picture of those four pictures, those four families, that they're actual families. Because like you said, we've seen like other ads where they'll have just like a bunch of kids. You see an Asian child, you'll see an African-American child, you see maybe a French child, and then you'll see a couple of adults, you know, running around a faucet, you know, water, playing and throwing confetti. Something fun-loving, but it's you can tell that in the picture they're probably not related. And that shot, because it's a holiday picture, they're trying to establish that in each panel that they are a family. And with the TV shows that are out there, we know of like Modern Family and a bunch of other shows that are like that. We know that those kinds of families are inclusive to the advertising there because they're spending just as much money as the regular, quote-unquote, what people would see in society as the regular family or the what they call in the 50s the nuclear family, which is the father and the mother married, two kids and a dog and a picket fence in the house.
Well, I'm someone married with two kids, and I'll be damn out if I'm having a dog, another mouth for me to feed. But we all know about that already. But
we'll figure.
And you know, I like this topic right here because I like to bring up a little bit since we talk about society and the image out there. But once again, last night on Brother B Show, he talked about the stereotypes and negativity of TV shows. Like, I know Kato will talk about Love and Hip Hop in a minute. But the example that Brother B brought up last night, like when he watched movies and TV shows, why is always the Muslims targeted as terrorists? Like, for example, the TV show 24. I'm sure we've all seen it at one time. When you go to Iran, Saudi Arabia is always talking as terrorists. So now you have a society today where you go outside and see a Muslim person or a lady all wrapped up. The first thing that comes to your mind is she's carrying a bomb? Is there going to blow something up? You know. But go ahead, Kato. What do you think about the stereotypes of these shows today? I'm like, I know we bash the shows all the time.
Right.
But why do you think people don't feed into that?
Because you know why people feed into the negativity? Negativity sells. You know, negativity is a hot commodity. I'm sure you'll agree with that because you look at these shows, like they always show, oh, the Muslims or everyone, as soon as a Muslim, oh my goodness, Muslims are terrorists. All Muslims are terrorists. Let's see. All Hispanics are gangbangers or drug dealers. All black guys are hood dudes or thugs. That's the stereotype that people give into. You understand? It sells. You know, the negativity sells.
Those are the stereotypes that they fall back on, and those are the lazy stereotypes that we used to see in the 70s and in the 80s and in the 90s and in the early 2000s. When you look at television, it was always, like you said before, the bad guy villain. If they were going for a political thriller, it was either the Russians or the Cold War, or it was the Muslims that are the terrorists. And those were the two bad guy tropes that you got. The black person in the movie was always a thug or a hood. So when you start
or the
to make...
Or the sidekick. Or the sidekick for the white man.
Right.
So the one thing that you have always move apart from when you're going into storytelling. It has to be dynamic. You have to branch out and look at other things involved. We don't hear about movies about quote-unquote domestic terrorism. Like
nope.
A movie where you have a super spy that is looking for somebody that actually lives within the United States that was like, you know, for instance, like the Unabomber, who was in, I believe, Wyoming somewhere. You don't hear about that. You always hear about the guy that's in some country out in the middle of East Europe somewhere, or the guy that's overseas that's a Muslim or somebody that – something like that. Hollywood, they refuse to go ahead and do the open thing now, where you see a lot of people branch out and be a little more creative when it comes to these kinds of things, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah, Paul, but like I told last time, like, okay, there have been shows out there that are a little bit trying to be positive, especially in the black community, but those shows don't last long and people don't watch, and
no.
For the most part, people don't care about that. I mean, you're not going to see another show again. Go ahead.
You have, okay, like I said last night, you had The Jeffersons, you had The Cosby Show, when they showed that black people have made it up. That they're having careers, that they have exclusive skills, they're business owners, they're doctors, lawyers, like The Cosby Show, for example. They graduated from historical black colleges, and their children were living their lives of, they were good kids. That kind of positivity, people don't like to see it. They want to see the negative because, once again, the negativity sells. People will run to watch the negative. They'll run to watch the trash, like the put-downs, the stereotypes, like Sean said earlier. Let's take a look at it. Like we said before, the Arabs are terrorists. And long time ago, if you look at the old films of Hollywood, cowboys and Indians, the Indians were seen as savages. You know?
You see it time and time again.
I
remember. And it's funny, and like Sean, that we always talk about the shows like Love and Hip Hop, Love and Basketball. Not Love and Basketball. Basketball Wise. All those shows.
They start running into each other
at the same time.
You know what it is? They make those shows, both Basketball Wise and Love and Hip Hop. It makes the black woman look cheap. The sad part about
And that's my problem with those shows. I understand people watch it for entertainment. And those are not the ones I'm not criticizing at all. Because let's be honest, guys. We're 40-year-old men, and we still watch wrestling for entertainment of men beating up each other in their underwear.
But some people watch it. But you know what? Some girls out there, and I'm not saying all of them do it, but some of them, they copy off of what they see in those shows, and they think it's all right. They want to look like the ladies that star on those shows, and they have that means that you don't have no future goals. If you're gonna look at Basketball Wise, all you're gonna think about this: oh, I'm gonna go ahead and mess around with an athlete and get pregnant, and that way I could get that money. I'm like, come on now, there's more to life than that.
It's funny. It reminds me of some of the conversations that you used to hear from adults. Like, let's say you would go to the supermarket and you would hear women having conversations amongst themselves, and they would talk about things that you would normally hear in their conversations came from a soap opera. So you would like, she tried to destroy her. She did this and she did that. And like, well, wait a minute, hold on. You realize that what you're talking about is something from a television show. Now you fast forward 20, 30 years later, and we're talking about shows that are, for the most part, based on just some of the more salacious parts of humanity. And we talk about how a lot of there doesn't seem to be a lot of redeeming value other than the entertainment part of it. But then when you start looking at it and you start pulling the layers away, the people involved in a lot of these reality shows look more and more like fools. And I'll give you an example.
Yes, they do.
There's something that I just heard about just 3 days ago on online that is a trend that's happening. We've all heard of catfishing, right? Where, you know, somebody tries to go on a dating site, tries to pick somebody up, and then they tell them that they're somebody that they're not. There is something that is going on as a trend that is called blackfishing. And this is where Caucasian women, mostly teens, early 20s, go online and they doll themselves up. They tan their skin, they put on fake eyelashes, and they go ahead and they go from looking the normal way that they were born, white, Caucasian, etc., and then they bronze the skin and they do everything else, and they make themselves look like they are black, and then they go on to Twitter and other social media and take selfies of themselves and then put it out there to, basically misrepresent how they are online. And it's called blackfishing. And I had never heard of this before. Yeah. And this is part of the culture of what's going on in society now.
Well, the problem is, like I said 2 minutes ago, we watch wrestling, and like you said, you know, people back then talk about soap operas. We just talk about it. Whether we get upset or excited, we just talk about it. But we don't go out wrestling each other, wrestling each other to the ground. You know, once again, we're 40-something years old. So for these kids to be out there blackfishing or whitefishing or whatever, it shows you, once again, how attention and low self-esteem this generation is. And like
I told you
all the time, I have no hope in these kids. You know, I even look at my kids. You know, like, damn, please don't tell me they're going to be dumb like the rest of this generation.
And no, this generation,
that'll be on you and the mother of your children. That's where the parenting part comes in, to hope that you can kind of get them out of the craziness that's been going on in the world today.
Excuse me for interrupting, but time and time again, what do these young girls talk about? They want to be, some of them talk about, they want to be just like them. They see these girls on TV. They see them in the show. They see what they're wearing. They see the way they act. You know, everyone's all of a sudden, I want to become just like them. I'm like, there are more better role models to be like than to sit there and copy off what you see in these stupid reality TV shows, which makes no sense at all.
But I do agree with you guys that less what happened to my kids will be, you know, according to me. But at the same time, like I told people every time, parenting is not for everyone, and parenting is like probably the hardest job in the world. I'm a firm believer there always should be a parent at home, even though that doesn't happen as much as it is anymore, and one parent at work, because let's be honest, it's kind of like somewhat impossible. But now you have the streets and the school teaching these kids. Because, you know, my daughter's like 3 years old, going to be three soon. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she learned these bad habits in school. And when you call her name out, she would look at you and say, what? So, you know, as me, you know, you guys know I don't play that. I give her a look. I'm like, Abby, you don't say what. You say, yes, daddy, yes, mommy, or excuse me. You don't say what. Where she got that what from? Of course, from other kids, you know, and other their parents and their bad habits and everything. Yes, I do agree. It's our job. It always starts from home. Well, I think it's getting harder and harder every time, especially when you're in a battle between parenting and social media parenting, and this catfishing and this water fishing and this other God knows what's happening in this world today. And not to go off topic a little bit. This generation is getting so dumb and not realizing the lack of common sense right now. I have an intern, 22. I asked her to remove the staples from paper. I gave her a staple remover. She asked me, Ronnie, don't laugh, how to use this.
Wow.
I did not laugh. I showed her how to use a staple remover. But it didn't shock me, you know, and I couldn't get upset because I see this type of thing time and time again. You know, a staple remover, guys. A 22-year-old person did not know how to use it. Why? Because they're so used to technology.
Yeah, they're so used to it.
You know,
ask them, and this is the thing that I wanted to point out too. Ask any of these kids to use a pen to use what they write, script or cursive writing, they won't know about it.
Nope. Yeah. School don't teach it. They won't know a thing about it.
The crazy thing about that is that people are starting to write the way they text.
They won't even tell you what book they read. They won't know how to read a book. And that's the sad part about it because they're reading too many stories from social media.
Yes, Sean?
Yeah, people are actually writing the way they text. Really,
yeah.
R-L-Y, L-O-L, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, wait a minute. Don't you know how to write a word? Do you know how to spell laugh?
Nope.
Do you know how to spell trouble? Do you know how to spell... It's craziness.
So, I'm like, okay, so you think about this right now, about the lack of education, and you relate this to the images that you see on television and on magazines. You see like a connection, like, you know what? This generation is getting worse and worse and worse. But imagine the people that did pick these pictures. I would not be surprised with some young kids not thinking the right way.
Yeah.
I don't
see an older person.
Yes. I don't see like an older person, you know, thinking, you know, doing these pictures. I could be wrong. You know, I don't know who worked for them, but I don't think these kids think things through overall.
Mm-hmm.
But God forbid, they don't know how to use their Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram. And like they get so, I look at their Instagram, they get so creative how they post
things.
Yes,
they do.
Well, you don't know
how to remove a stapler.
And
Twitter, as a matter of fact, not too long ago, I remember showing this video to a couple of my friends, and they couldn't stop laughing. We were looking at Twitter and seeing the dumbest things, and I'm sure you've seen it, the stupid things that people write on Twitter. You have to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
The spelling, the grammar, it's all gone out the damn window. You have to wonder, like, what are you doing? Like, really?
So in other words, Sean Black and K-Dog, should people right now take their life seriously, or should we be nervous right now, or it is what it is? Donald Trump is taking over, and that's it.
There is hope, but it's a very, very small glimmer. I mean, like, you can blow out the candle. That's how small it is. But I think that there are people out there that are trying their best to fight the status quo and the established nature of what's going on now. And it'll have to take a concerted effort from adults like us in our age range to trickle that down toward younger people and see that there are a lot of gifted younger people that are coming up. They just need to be nurtured in the right way and get them on the right path to getting them into something better than what's going on now. Because as it is right now, I've equated society right now to a bowl of soggy cereal. You know, you pour milk on it. At one time it was crisp. Now it's just a bunch of soggy, rotten cereal.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, on that note, I know a little bit tonight was a little bit seldom quiet night. I don't want to argue, but you know, because I want to give all you guys a safe and blessed, happy Thanksgiving, gobble gobble, all that turkey, all that nonsense, all that stuff you guys celebrate. Because I'm being nice to you guys. Because really, the next day is Black Friday. I want you to go out there and buy me a nice gift for Christmas.
Don't forget to wear the football helmets if you're going shopping and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, but don't worry, Sean. This year he is going Black Friday shopping with me, so be ready, Sean Black.
I am.
Okay.
I already got the shoulder pads and the helmet. I got the armor ready.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we will do a couple more shows for the rest of the year, and after that we will take a break because you know I will be too busy getting drunk. Because, you know, I'm the hot rod. I'm Black.
That's right.
But thank you so much. And you know what? We probably do this again next week. Tisha passed out sleeping tonight, so I'm sorry for our Tisha fans.
Yeah.
Hopefully she'll be back next week. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure
was all yours.
I'll take this opportunity to wish my grandmother a happy 93rd birthday this Saturday. Happy birthday, Grandma.
Hey, happy birthday, Grandma.
Oh, wow.
That's
happy
what I'm
night.
Talking about.
She's not. Wow,
God,
she's 93, and you're 75. Wow.
Yes.
That's so good. Have a good night, guys. Take
good
care.
Good night, man. Good night, people.